Perk Shlishi of Hilchos Avodas Kechavim, Pesh Lamed and Mal Standard Rambam, Salacha Aleph. Kol Aved Kechavim, Bertzono, Bezadon, Chayav Kares. Whoever worships the stars, the idols, willingly and purposely, is liable to the punishment of Kares, to be cut off. Mayusham Eidim Vasra, if there are witnesses and a warning, Niskol, he's liable to be stoned. Ramavad Bishkaga, if he worship idols in error, maybe carbon chatas kavua. He brings a regular chatas sacrifice, a sin offering. Lacha beis. Avodas har bekavu abdi kachavim uchal tzala mutzem tzala muluchal tzura tzura. There are many forms of service that the idolaters instituted for each image and for each form. Avodaseh enek avodaseh. The service of one is not like the service of the other. Gompiar, like an idol known as Pa'ar, shavodaseh shapara adam atzmolo. Its service is that a man defecates in front of it. Markulis, the idol Markulis, Shavudasa Shizuk Lavanim, the Isakum of Avanim. Its service is that you throw stones at it or that you remove stones from in front of it. And many different services such as these were instituted for other idols. Fikach, therefore, Hapor Atzmal Markulis, if you do one of the forms of worship to the other kind of idol. Let's say you defecate in front of Markulis, who is generally not served that way. Or the other example, Shazark Evan Lapar, he threw a stone to Piar. Par is not worshipped by throwing stones. Markulis is. Pater, so in these cases he'd be free of punishment. You wouldn't punish him. Achiavad oso derech avodoso, until he serves it in the manner in which it is served. It says, how do these nations serve their gods? Well, I will do the same. For this reason, the Beis Din must know the particular manners in which the idolaters serve their gods. You cannot stone an idolater, a Jew who worships idols, unless you know that the manner in which he served it is the normal manner for it. The warning against serving these idols and others like them are in the pasuk, do not serve them. Now, the medvar mamurim, when do we say this rule that the forbidden service is only that which is usual and natural for that particular idol? That's b'shar avodas, with other forms of service. Chutz, with the exception. Mimishtachva, bowing, v'zaveach, and slaughtering, umakter, and offering on the altar, umenaseich, and pouring. Aval ovid b'achas mevodas elu. If you serve with one of these, those services, l'achem b'kominei avodas kechavim, for any kind of idol, chayv, you're liable, v'afishin derech avodas b'kach, even if you don't serve that particular idol, with one of these ways, because these ways are all inclusive, and any idol that you serve that way, you're liable. Ketzad, for example, if he poured a libation to the idol Piar, or he offered a sacrifice to the idol Makulis, chayiv, he is liable. Shenemar, it says, zovech lolahim yacharam bilti l'Hashem levado. He who offers a sacrifice to another god shall be destroyed, only to Hashem alone. Zvicha b'chal avod aisa. Slaughtering was included in all the other forbidden work, forbidden services. Lama yot says, why does the Torah take it out and make a special case out of it? Lama loch to teach you. Ma zvichum yuched ha-shobdun bal Hashem. Just as slaughtering is special, insofar as that's one of the ways in which you serve God. B'chayiv azavech le'el acher skila leha. And one who slaughters for another god is liable to be stoned for it. Whether the manner of serving it was through slaughtering or not. So we learn out from this by analogy of kol avodashim yuchedus l'shem. Also, any service which is specifically used for God, for Hashem. Mavud bale elacher, if he serves with it to another god, ben chayisadech avodasa b'kach ben she'ena b'kach, whether that's its usual way of service or not, Chayv Olah, he is liable for it. Kach Nema, the fourth says, Lo zishtach avel el acher, do not bow down to another god. Chayv Olah, zishtach avah, afiru ein derech avodos ha-bakach, to make you liable for bowing, even if that is not
the usual way in which it is served. But in the Makata Menasech, and the law is the same for someone who burns things on the altar, incense or other things, and Menasech, someone who pours wine or other things on the altar. Zarka Menasech Echad Hu, throwing something on the altar and pouring it on the altar is considered the same thing. Halacha Dalet, Savas Latzoa, Oshenisach La'ovit Shomer Aglayim Chayiv. If he throws some excrement at it, or pours a basin of urine onto it, he is liable. Because the Lecha Mishnah explains the Rambam, that the Rambam interprets the Gemara, that these things are considered forms of pouring or throwing, which, as we mentioned before, is forbidden in any case, and is liable in any case. Shachat l'chogav potter. If he slaughtered a grasshopper for the idol, he is free of liability. Unless this was the way in which it is served. Similarly, if he slaughtered an animal that's missing a limb, he's also patur, he's also not liable. Unless this was the way of serving that idol. Now we'll see soon the Ravid's objection. How can you say that you're not liable for slaughtering an animal that's merely not proper, not fit, and you are liable for something as outlandish as throwing the excrement or the urine onto it? Because the Mishnah answers this question by saying that precisely because slaughtering an animal does resemble the temple more, therefore, if it's done in a way that is different than the temple, that is to say, either it's a type of animal that isn't slaughtered in the temple at all, like a locust, or even an animal that is slaughtered in the temple but it's missing a limb, it's too far removed, since its liability is coming by analogy to the temple service, and since this doesn't fit in the temple service, therefore you're not liable. Whereas the other things, they're not going by analogy to temple service as such. They are forms of throwing things on the idol or making libation for the idol. And therefore they are liable in any case. At any rate, the Rambam continues. If an idol is served with a stick, now the Lecha Mishnah explains that this means not specifically in the ways that are going to follow, but in general, stick is waved in front of this idol. It has something to do with the stick. Then, if he broke a stick in front of it, he is liable and the stick becomes forbidden, because breaking a stick would be the analogous to slaughtering an animal. Provided that the stick is used in general with this idol. Now, it doesn't, according to the Lecha Mishnah, the Rambam doesn't mean that the way of serving it is by breaking the stick. That would be obvious. The way of serving it is by doing something else with the stick. But since the stick is used, and breaking the stick resembles slaughtering, therefore it would be liable. Zarek Makal Bafunau, if he threw a stick in front of it, Chayiv, he is also liable. The same idea. It's considered throwing, which is one of the prohibited things. However, Vin and Aseres, the stick itself does not become prohibited, since in this way, Shendrikas Amaka Kendrikas Adam, because in this respect, throwing of the stick is not similar to the throwing of the blood. Shemakal Kvo Shahu, because the stick remains as is, but Damis Pazer, and the blood sprinkles. So even though, as far as the violation goes, he has violated it and he is totally liable, but as far as whether the stick becomes prohibited or not, there it's different. There it is so different than the sprinkling of the blood that the stick would not become prohibited. If one accepts upon himself any kind of idolatry, as a god, Chayv Skil is liable to stoning. Even if he just picked up a stone or a brick, Ramallah, and he said to this brick, Eliata, you are my god. Anything similar, with these words he is liable. Even if he changes his mind within a short period of time, the amount of time it takes to greet your rabbi, a couple of seconds, this is not my God, in Chazrus of Klum, his recanting is worthless, Alaniskal, but he would get stoned. Now the Ravid argues on many points in this law here. Amar Avram, Enadas Mekabelas Kol Zeh, logic does not accept all of this. Is slaughtering of the grasshopper or the locust or slaughtering of an animal that's missing a limb any worse than throwing excrement or pouring urine? We already answered that objection of the Ravid. But anyway, the Ravid says, those rabbis in the Talmud who say that you are not liable for slaughtering a grasshopper, they do not hold of similar offspring in laws concerning idolatry. And in fact, according to them, you would not be liable for throwing the excrement or the urine. And that view, which finds you not liable if the animal is missing a limb, also agrees with that view. That's the view of the sages. Aval, Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman, Aliba de Rav, but the other rabbis of Yehuda and Rav Nachman, according to Rav, Svilu, they hold Rav Yehuda, like Rav Yehuda, Uketana de Sofas, and like the Tana who holds that the throwing of the excrement is liable. So he holds, the Ravid holds these are two different views, and the Rambam is contradicting himself, according to the Ravid's interpretation of the Gemara. The Ravid says, okay, so this is the law. The Chokin Zvichos Zvika Shoponim Amishtabrim Chayiv. Anything that resembles slaughtering or throwing of inside that breaks is liable. Even not in a usual way. In other words, it has to be something that's any kind of throwing, by breaking it means something that comes into pieces, to drops, not something that's a thick solid. When Rabbi Yehuda says that a idol that is served with a stick, he doesn't mean that it's served specifically by being broken or by being thrown. It's being served in some other way with a stick. Busakam is telling you something new. That even though it is served with a stick, zark maklofanel potter. If he throws a stick in front of it, he is not liable. No, he's following not the Rambam's view, but he holds he's not liable. Why? Since it isn't served by throwing the stick, on the other hand, it cannot be liable by analogy to sprinkling liquids on the altar because the stick is a solid. So the Ravid would hold that if you throw a stick, and if it's not the usual to serve it through specifically throwing a stick, it would not be liable by analogy to throwing since it's a solid. We've already discussed previously that the Rambam interprets the Gemara differently, and he feels that throwing an object is liable and is analogous to throwing in the temple, whether it's a solid or not. The only difference is whether the stick would be prohibited or not. And we've already also answered the objection of the Ravid to the distinction between the slaughtering of the blemished animal and the sprinkling or throwing of these other objects. Halacha hey, ha'obed avodas kechavim kedarka, if one serves an idol in its usual way, if you also derech bizayon, even if he did it with the intention of doing something disgusting to it, he's still liable. Ketzer haso, poatz from the park leil avazoso. If someone defecates in front of the idol PR, which is the way it is served, but he does it in order to desecrate it, azor kevin lo markulis leil avazoso. Or similarly, he throws a stone to the Markulis, not in order to worship it, but on the contrary, to make fun of it. Since this is the normal way of serving it, Chayev, he is liable. Not liable to death, because he didn't want to serve it. It's considered an accidental service of idolatry. Or maybe Kovin al-Shigogoso, and he brings a sacrifice for his inadvertent idolatry. Vav, Avod Avodus Kachav Mi'ava, if a person serves an idol out of love. Chashuk Petzura, how do we define out of love? He desired the image, Zu, because it was a very beautiful, beautifully worked. Its work was very fine. Or he served it because he was afraid of it. Perhaps it will do something bad to him. Like those who serve the idol think that it may do good or bad. So the Rambam says like this, if he accepted it as a god, he is liable to be stoned. But if he served it, either in its usual way of serving, or in the four ways of serving that are sort of all-inclusive to all idols, but he did it not with accepting it as a god, only out of love or fear, then he is not liable, because he didn't accept it as a god. Now, the Ravid objects. He says, "Am Avram domeshu hishmit mikan miyira." It seems that he left out of fear, because the Mishnah says this is very strange. The Rambam explicitly does include out of fear. Gemara ochin yachad miavam yira. The Gemara, they go together, out of love and out of fear. Perhaps the Ravid had a different version. V'adam mafash miavas adam miyiras adam. Lo miavas avodas kachavim v'lo miyirasa. The Ravid says we interpret it as love and fear, love of a person or fear of a person. Well, he loves this person, and in order to make him happy, he serves this god, not because he believes in it. Or he's afraid that a person might hurt him, and that's why he serves the god, not because he believes in it. And then he would not be liable. The Kesef Mishnah quotes the Rivash, who says that most commentators disagree with the Rambam here. When he says that if you serve the idol out of fear, you're not liable, and he defines that as fear that it might do something to you. Now, the Rivash argues that if you fear that the idol actually has power and that it might do something bad to you, even if you didn't accept it as a god, I mean, that is accepting its power, and that should be out-and-out idolatry, and you should be liable to stoning. Now, that's how the Rivash holds, and he says that many authorities hold that way. Again, the Rambam holds no. Unless you actually accept it as a god, even if you have some kind of superstitious fear of it, that is not out-and-out idolatry. And you would not be punished for it with stoning. The Rambam continues, if someone hugs an idol, he kisses it, he sweeps and cleans in front of it, he washes it, and he anoints it, he puts clothing onto it, he puts shoes onto it, anything similar to these ways of honoring it. Over below sase, he transgresses a prohibition, a negative prohibition. Shemaz it says, "Losa avdeim, do not serve them." V'amelu b'chal avodeim, this is included in the service. So he has broken a prohibition. The alpha became nevertheless in a local achsmehem. He is not flogged for any of them. L'fishenem v'pirush, because they're not explicit. You're not supposed to serve them in any way. And it doesn't specify which ways, so therefore he doesn't get flogged. So what we're talking about here is when the idol is not worshipped in these particular ways. He is just doing so to honor the idol. Then it is a prohibition, but there is no flogging. However, the Rambam continues, if its specific way of being served was in one of these methods that we just mentioned, and he did it in order to serve it, Chayev, then he is liable. He's liable to stoning because that is one of the accepted ways of worshipping that particular idol. Lacha Zayin. Yoshev lo kotz baraglo, if a thorn was embedded in his foot, in front of an idol, lo yisuach b'yitlenu, he shouldn't bend down to pick it up. Because it looks like he's bowing to it. He dropped money in front of an idol, lo yisuach b'yitlenu, he shouldn't bend down to pick up the money, because it looks like he's bowing to it. He should sit down, and then take the money, or the thorn out of his foot. Fountains, images that are pouring water in front of an idol. You have a water fountain there. You shouldn't put your mouth on it to drink because it looks like you're kissing an idol. Again, these water fountains are in the form of some shape of an image, and it looks like you're kissing them. Halacha tes, also, if a person makes an idol for himself, even if he didn't make it with his own hands, he just commissioned that it be made for him. He didn't even serve it. Loki gets flagged. That's a separate prohibition. It says, do not make unto you any image or any idol or any image. So the Rambam is learning that means anything that's made on your behalf. If you manufacture an idol with your own hands for someone else, just to manufacture, even if you're making it for a non-Jew, loki, you get flogged. Do not make molten gods for yourselves. So this means do not manufacture them, even if you're not going to use them. Therefore, if you make with your own hands an idol for yourself, you get two times flogging. Once for the fact that you're having one manufactured on your behalf, and the second time the fact that you are manufacturing one. They're two separate prohibitions and two separate floggings. The rabbi says, Amar Avram, kashuli am I loka? The rabbi says, why do you get flogged for making an idol or having an idol made on your behalf? It's a general prohibition. Don't we say before that if you hug or kiss the idol, you don't get flogged for it? Because it's a general prohibition, which you don't get flogged for. How is it general? Because when he said do not serve them, it includes all sorts of other services. The same thing here, all of the images are included in one general prohibition. Don't make any images, so why should you get flogged for it? The rabbi himself is going to answer this question soon. But first, he has another question. I have another question. The rabbi says you don't get flogged for hugging and kissing the idol. In the Tractate Makkos, where he enumerates the people who get flogged, he does count someone who anoints the idol and cleans it and hugs it and rubs it and he counts these as getting malchus. So al malaki, we see that you do get flogged. Now the kushri shona, as far as the first question, actually tied, so we can answer it this way. It's different, the hugging and kissing and so on that you don't get flogged for. Since they are not served in the temple this way, the fligum is vicha, because they're different than slaughtering. The chsev, as it says, if someone slaughters to another god, he shall be destroyed. And all other services are included in the prohibition to not serve them. In other words, when it says don't serve them, that's a general prohibition. There are different kinds of works. There are the things done in the Beis HaMikdash, and there is everything else. So those, all of those other things are alav shebichlalos, a general prohibition, and you don't get flogged for them. Havilav shebichlalos, it's a general prohibition. Aval inyan asiyas pesel v'chol tumuna b'avodas kechav machasi. When it says, do not make any idol or any image of idolatry, that's all one thing. Whatever image you make, whatever idol you make, is included in that prohibition. It's not called a general law. It isn't as if there are different kinds of specifics. And this one is including all specifics. There are no specifics. All types of idolatry are forbidden. All types are really one type. It isn't as if there exist different types, and they're all included in this all-purpose general prohibition, in which case you wouldn't get flogged. They are considered just one type. Any image is forbidden. And therefore you get flagged for it. Whereas in the service, the Torah itself makes distinctions between different kinds of services. Before, a certain kind of services, you're liable no matter what. All others do not serve them. Those all others is a lav shebichlal, it's a general prohibition, and you don't get flagged for it. As far as the Ravitz question from the Tosefta, the Kesef Mishnah suggests that since the Talmud doesn't bring this down, it's a sign that Ari Gemara does not hold it this way and holds that you don't get flogged, like the Rambam says.
Halacha Yud. Also, as it's Tzuras Lanoi, you're not allowed to make images for beauty. Means that it's not intended for idolatry. Shneimer, it says, Vosasin Iti, don't make with me. Klomar, Tzuras HaKesef Vizav, Shneim Ela Lanoi. That's referring to images of gold and silver that are only for beauty. So the people shouldn't make a mistake concerning them and think that they are for idolatry. And the prohibition of making images for beauty is only Ella Tsuras Anamavad. You're not allowed to make an image of a person, a sculpture of a person. Therefore, you're not allowed to make a person's image out of wood or plaster or out of stone. This is prohibited if it's an image that sticks out. Like the sculpting that is done in buildings. V'intzar, if he did sculpt, loke, he gets flogged. But if it's an engraving, or it's only a drawing with paint, like the paintings that are drawn on boards and tablets, or images that are woven, they are permitted. So the Rambam holds that there's no problem with painting or drawing even images of people. Now if you have a ring that has a signet, it's the image of a person. If the image was sticking out, you can't leave that there. You have to get rid of it. But the using it as a stamp itself is not prohibited, because the stamp that you're going to make is going to be indented. It's not going to be sticking out. Here's the opposite. If the image in the signet was sunk in, you can keep it, but you can't use it. You can't sign with it. Because when you sign with it, what's going to come out is an image that sticks out. Similarly, we talked before about the prohibition of making an image of a person. It's also prohibited to make an image of the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations, and the angels. Shinemas, it says, don't make with me. This means do not make something in the likeness of my servants who serve before me in the heavens. This is prohibited even on a board. This you can't even paint, according to the Rambam. Images of animals or other living things besides people. So Silanus, Uchaim, images of trees and plants, Gyotzman and other things. Mutulatsa, you're allowed to make drawings of them. If you like the Torah, even if it's a sculpture, it's also permitted. The Rabbi objects to the Rambam. He says, Amar Avram, Demishim Chalik Mutulatsa, Mutulatsa, Mishamshim Bamarim. The Rambam seems to be making a distinction between the image of a person and the image of the servants in the heavens. Turasam Shamshin Apilam Shavim Lobotum Loshokamasurim. The image of the things that serve, like the sun and the planets, well, even if they're not sticking out or sticking in, they're still prohibited, even if they're drawn or painted. So Sadam in a bullet mutter. But a person's image, if it doesn't stick out, it's permitted. The Rabbit objects. Vlaidati Lomo Milo. I don't know where he gets this distinction from. They should all be the same. They should be consistent. Tomer, if you want to say Mishum Dutani Chosma Bolad Asa Lanicha, that since it says you're not allowed to have the signet if it's sticking out, Hashav B'Shav Muta, this implies that if it's equal, it's permitted. And you say, well, look what it says later on. Chosma Shakua Muta Lanicha. If the image is sunk in, it's permitted. Hashav B'Shav Asa. That implies only if it's sunk in. But if it's equal, then it is prohibited. So if you want to imply from that, you can imply that it's prohibited. Sovdover, the end of the matter is this, according to the writer. Laselsi Yisrael b'chol in Yenosu. For a Jew to do it in any case is forbidden. Mavdikachav masalo, if a non-Jew does it, bolit asur, if the signet is sticking out, is prohibited, lanicha b'yadu, to keep it in his hands. Umutish yachtal mavdikachav, but a non-Jew can sign with it, because it's going to be sunk in. And sunk in, he agrees, is permitted. Shekeha, if it's sunk in, if the signet is sunk in, mutal lanicha, you can keep it. V'asalach mavdikachav, a non-Jew can't sign with it for you, because it's going to make an image. Both human and the things in the heaven are equal, according to the Bible. Only if it's sunk in, it's permitted. But if it's equal, if it's on the surface, it's prohibited, according to the Bible. Because the Mishnah answers the Rambam by saying that a human being is actually sticks out. He appears to us as someone who sticks out. Therefore, it's prohibited only if it's actually sticking out. Whereas the sun and the stars looks to us flat, even though it really isn't. But it appears to us flat, and therefore, it's forbidden even in a two-dimensional painting, according to the Rambam. And this distinction, because the Mishnah says, is made by the Tosfos and by other commentaries, and it is apparently the reasoning behind the Rambam's making this distinction.